Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet, Pat Chat Edition. I'm Violet.
And I'm Pat.
We make these videos because we want to help you to understand more about the ketogenic lifestyle. Patrick finds a lot of articles and interesting ideas because he does get a lot of things about keto into his newsfeed. And we decided to talk about them to help you guys to learn how to make better decisions and to kind of weed out the bad articles from the good ones. I'm hoping at some point we're going to talk about a good one. But anyways, we'll see what he has for me today.
There's a lot of bad ones.
Okay, so, well.
This week. Topic.
Okay.
The dangers of going keto. That I want to cover with you.
Okay, so we're going for another joke article. Okay.
Yeah, it's not a joke article, but we feel like if
the dangers.
people come across those articles, like, yeah, I think we need to discuss and like to do like a counter analysis of those elements.
The dangers of doing keto.
First danger, gut health. So whole grain bread, rolled oats, fruits, legumes, these are like all no-go on the ketogenic diet. Like last week we saw before that we can have a little bit of fruit. But like it's not just the carb we're cutting out by eliminating those food, is the fiber that they contain. So we know that we need a certain amount of fiber per day for our regularity, I guess, to say it. So what do you have to say to someone who would freak out like seeing that danger? Oh my God, I won't have like any fiber in my diet and I won't be able to go to the bathroom and do my number two.
So first of all, what I would say is that it's not the fiber that causes us to go to the bathroom, because obviously, especially if it's not non-soluble fiber, yes, it does move through us, but when it gets the fibers, some of the fiber that goes into our gut feeds the microbes that live in our gut. So it's like a double-edged sword in the sense that if I don't eat fiber, then the microbes that would have eaten that fiber aren't there. So therefore, I don't need to feed them because they're not there. However, that's not going to stop me from going to the bathroom. So for two different reasons. So any food that I eat is going to pass through my intestines, period, because that's how we pull nutrients out of our food. That's it has to pass through my body mechanism. So the I can't recall that the peristaltic, like that thing that your intestines do to push through food through, is still going to happen. But the other thing that I will say is, what's the other thing we can eat to help us go to the bathroom? Fat. So how many people start keto and end up having diarrhea? Yeah. Right? So the idea that only fiber can help you, that's not true. And there are a lot of people who do carnivore, and guess what they do? They go to the bathroom regularly. When I fasted, I didn't miss a day. Went to the bathroom. I was eating nothing. I did 7 days. I didn't miss a day. So by day two, you know that there was nothing coming out of me that was put in that day, and still I was going to the bathroom. You don't need to have fiber, right? Like, so how it's going to affect your microbiome, though, I'm waiting to hear what they have to say before I say more stuff.
No, they don't say anything.
Was there anything it's else about the gut?
Like each okay. Danger is very shortly so described the other thing, without like...
So the other thing that I would say about your microbiome, so your gut bacteria and everything, is that your gut bacteria is there to help you to digest what you eat. So if I'm eating certain foods, I will have the microbiome to support eating those foods. So obviously, when we eat a lot of carbs coming from grains and fruit and veg, then we have the microbiome to process carbs coming. But if you eat more fats, if you eat more meats, then you have the microbiome to process those things, right? Your body is not going to keep. It can't even do it. How would those microbes survive if they don't have what they eat? Right, you see? So it's very related. Whatever you're eating is going... That's why some people, when they switch, have a little bit of a hard time at first, because their microbiome is expecting one thing and it's getting something else.
Yeah. But still, like, if you do a reasonably balanced keto lifestyle, you eat salad, you eat, you eat a lot of vegetables that, like, a lot of salad.
You're not eating grains, though, which is what they were focusing on. They were saying that poor us, we're not eating grains.
Yeah.
Because so. The only thing you... So basically, just to point something out to you, because again, I just love when they hand me this kind of stuff. So I'm going to eat grains, so I have fiber. When I could eat cabbage, I could eat lettuce, I could eat broccoli, I could eat cauliflower. Right? So, do I need to eat grains to get fiber when I could eat these other things? It's not logical, right? I'm still going to get fiber from those things.
And we know, there's a lot of fiber in avocados, too.
And avocados, and olives, and butter.
So, not a real danger, people. Okay. Second danger, heart health. So, basically, the argument here is making a difference between good fats, bad fats. So, there's no problem with the olive oil, avocado oil, seeds, nuts, to support optimal brain and heart health. Mm-hmm. The problem with the author of the article... is for with people that put spoonfuls of butter in their coffee, just cook everything in bacon oil, bacon fat. So is there such a thing as good oils versus bad oils?
Yes.
And what you mentioned as bad oil, are they really bad oils?
So there is such a thing as good oils versus bad oils, but not the ones he's talking about. Any man-made oil. So if you're talking about margarine, if you're talking about... canola oil, vegetable oil, those are man-made oils, and those are absolutely horrible for your body. But when you're talking about, first of all, let's go with the butter idea. Let's just start there.
Mm-hmm.
So if I understood him well, because I don't eat bread, eating butter is going to hurt me. But if I eat bread and I put some butter on it, I'm going to be fine.
Oh, no, he wasn't talking about the butter on the bread in the first.
No, but I'm just pointing. I'm pointing out, right? The people that make these articles, they're let's be realistic. Most people who are having a toast is putting what on it? My first problem there is that his concern is that I'm putting the butter in my coffee, not on my toast.
Okay? No, I think his concern is with butter in general. His concern is more with saturated fat in general, so animal fats.
So the second part I'm going to say is that we have been...
Because we hear that all the time, that saturated fats, animal fats are bad for your heart.
It's the same people that are telling us that carbs are good for us. Telling us that. So the thing that I'm going to point out too is that butter and lard in our bodies are metabolized well and they don't cause inflammation versus canola oil causes inflammation. Omega-6 versus omega-3s that you get in butter. And so I'm not going to pretend to know all the percentages and whatever, because I don't. Okay. I'm going to say that right off the bat. What I do know is that every doctor that I've heard talk about, first of all, bacon, second of all, butter, lard, have all said there's no issue with having them in reasonable quantities. If you have anything in an unreasonable quantity, you're going to create a situation for yourself. If you are eating a pound of butter a day, I don't care what the doctor says, you're going to have a problem eventually, right? But if you're eating a normal amount of butter, and again, so let's say a serving of butter in something, whether it's on a piece of toast.
Or in your coffee.
Or in your coffee.
Not on a piece of toast, though.
I'm talking about the butter now. The butter alone. Yeah. Regardless of where you're putting that butter, if it's a reasonable amount of butter, you're going to be fine. The problem that most people have is that they're going to try to link butter, lard, bacon to cholesterol issues. Wow. It's not the same thing. Your cholesterol being... So the negative cholesterol is happening because of chemical reactions that are happening in your body because you eat too many carbs. And I'm not going to... Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to go into all the details. If you want those kind of details, visit, Dr. Bickman, I think it was, but there's a few doctors. I'm sorry, I'm going to get their names wrong, so I'm not going to throw names out. But there's many doctors that have been at keto conferences that have talked about why high density cholesterol versus low density cholesterol look the way they look and are problematic the way that they're problematic or not. But the one thing that came across that was very clear is that cholesterol itself is not a problem. If we don't eat it, our body makes it. So it's not a problem. The thing is that, again, I wouldn't suggest anyone to overeat butter the same way that I wouldn't suggest anyone to overeat, anything. It doesn't matter. If I overeat it, that means I'm eating more than my body needs. That's not good for me.
Yeah. And whether you put in your coffee or you cook with it, as long as you keep track of what you eat, there's no problem with fats.
And also, as long as you're not force feeding it to yourself. You see, the thing that I would say is that if I'm putting it in my coffee because I feel like I have to get a certain amount and I'm trying to hit a number, okay. You know what? Eat until you're satiated When you're satiated, stop eating.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, the chances are very good you're not going to overeat fat, because fat is hard to overeat, right? You actually have to work at it because it's very filling.
Mm.
So if you just eat normally and stop when you're satiated, not when you're full, stop when you're satiated. That means I'm not hungry anymore. I stop eating. So those people who are eating even when they're not hungry, yes, there's a possibility that you could end up overeating fat.
Mm. So in the end, what do we want to avoid? What fats, the oils or fats do we want to avoid?
Man-made. So that those are vegetable oil, margarine, canola, all the oils that are not naturally sourced. So if you can cold press it and get it as an oil, yay. If you have to chemically extract it from... That's not natural.
Okay, third danger, bone health. Bone health coming from the fact that we don't drink milk, we don't eat yogurt, we don't like those high sugar yogurts. So basically, we're going to lack calcium. Yeah, once dairy is wiped out, it's rather hard to get enough calcium without careful planning. And that could be detrimental to your bone health and quality of life in the long run.
You know, I don't know if any...
Where do we get our calcium?
I don't know if any of you guys have ever tried this vegetable called collard greens. It's really popular in the U.S. And guess what? It has a lot of calcium.
Calcium? Hmm.
Guess what? Vegetables have calcium. They have magnesium, they have calcium, they have phosphorus, they have all kinds of... Again, you know, basically what this article is trying to say is that there's only one source of calcium. That's not true. I'm sorry. What about all of the people who are absolutely allergic to milk, like myself? Or like I was anyways. I'm not anymore, but that's a whole other thing. Was it the carbs? I don't know. But anyways, what about all the people who are detrimentally allergic to milk, right? So where do they get their calcium from? It doesn't make sense. There's multiple places that you can get calcium. So it's really about making sure that you're getting what you need. The other thing that I'll point out is that, you know, if we eat nutrient-dense vegetables and we have balance, so we're trying to eat varied. And also, if we decide to be carnivore and eat nose to tail and try to get, right, either of those scenarios can make sure that you have all the micronutrients that you need and all of the minerals that you need. It's just about making choices. If I'm not going to drink milk, I will allow myself to get my calcium from other sources.
Because of course milk is I think it's a no-go on our diet, because it's I think 12 13 14 grams per cup or something like that.
Already
talked about those high fat plain yogurt that has only 5 grams, so that these are a little bit easier to fit in your diet if you have room. Like I think it's 5 grams per 3/4 cups of 10% fat yogurt, and it's like...
And how much calcium are you getting?
I don't... I have to check
the calcium. But that would be a question mark. It would be a question mark, because, like, is it worth the 5 grams of carbs that I have to get that calcium when I could eat some Swiss chard, that I could eat some other vegetable? Mm. Like, again, do your research. If calcium is something... So osteoporosis, if that's something that you're trying to work on, you just do your research. What I can say is that I do think that for every person who's doing keto... making sure that you have varied vegetables and that you're tracking them so that you can see in whatever calculator that you're using, I'm not pushing any particular one, just look and make sure that your micronutrients are saying that you're getting the quantities that's healthy for you, right? Again, it's an estimate, right? But if I'm closer to hitting my numbers when I have a variety, then that tells you that you're balancing well, right? And the other thing is, again, nose to tail. Make sure you eat the whole animal, and then you make sure that you're getting what you need.
Yeah.
Right? Because the animal eats veg.
Mm. Totally. Okay, that's good for bone. Iron.
Can I go back to the heart? No, to the bones again for one second.
Okay.
The other thing that you can do, and I mean, this is, it's just a suggestion. I think it'd be better for you to get it from your veg and your meat. But the other possibility is that you could also take like a supplement of some sort.
Oh, yeah.
Like I know a lot of people talk about Zipfiz because it has a high amount of potassium in it. Personally, I kind of like Vegasport. I take it once in a while. that has less potassium in it. But of course, I can add potassium because you can put
tartar, cream of tartar.
You can put cream of tartar in it, and so you can add have the amount of potassium that you want. So there's ways of getting the minerals that you want if you're not eating nose to tail, or eating varied veg. I tend to eat varied veg, but like I said, recently I've been eating more meat, not as much varied veg, because I'm not eating nose to tail. I add a supplement.
Yeah.
If I was eating nose to tail, I wouldn't bother. You need to know what you're doing. You need to be paying attention to how you're eating, right? I'm constantly looking at what I'm eating from day to day and making adjustments of, am I doing a supplement or do I not need the supplement because I did really well, right? So pay attention.
As long as we're on the bone health, maybe another warning that I would like, because I do eat the yogurt, because I do like the dairy, the yogurt. Just be careful though, even though if it's a vanilla yogurt, even the vanilla yogurt has a ridiculous amount of sugar. So you really need to go plain. For sure, in the beginning, it's a little bit harsh to let the taste is different. But like the if you can find like a 10% fat yogurt, like they taste very, like it's very smooth. They taste very good. It's more like those 0% yogurt that like are more like harsh. But like, why would you go?
Why would you go there?
That, yeah, that's the thing. So that 10% yogurt is a good choice if you can fit it in your numbers. Iron, like we need to talk about iron. So if you're wondering why iron is at risk on a meat-based diet, hear me out. Many grains food provide a considerable amount of iron because all grains naturally contain iron in their inner layer called the germ. Another reason is that some grain product can have iron added due to their manufacturing. Probably don't want that though. So once you cut grains out, your iron status could suffer, which can lead to unpleasant symptoms like tiredness and lethargy. It can even compromise your immune system.
Okay, I'm really holding back my laughter here. First of all, animals need heme iron, which you don't get from grains. That's part one. When they add iron to things, they are adding non-heme. So again, that's not helping us. That's part one. Part two, yes, the iron in these things is found in the durum. We don't get that part. They take that off because it doesn't taste right. So what ends up happening, and you know what, just to be clear, a company can claim that its whole grain, if they put, I can't remember the percentage, but I think it was 5%. Of the durum back in, come on, like that's a joke, right? And it might even be less than 5%. I'm guessing 5%. I can't remember exactly what the number, but I remember when I read the number, I was like, "You're joking." If you are iron deficient, trust me, it's not because you're not eating grains, right? If you're iron deficient, it's because you're not eating the appropriate amount of
red meat
in general. I don't eat red meat, and I'm not iron deficient, but everybody needs to know themselves, right? If you need more iron, I would always start with meat. I would always start with, I don't know how much fish iron has in, but I mean, anything that has blood running through it, so should have, but I would start with meat, right? Sure. Like I said, there is iron in veg, but it's non-heme. So if you're missing it, you want to go with the quality of iron that's going to jump right into you. And that's heme. So and that comes from animals.
Yeah.
So no, that whole paragraph, I'm just wow, really? You just but you see how confusing it could be?
Yeah,
because totally. He makes this argument that sounds so good. If you don't know that there's a difference between the iron in veg and the iron or in grains and the iron in animals. It's the same way that they sell us vitamin D, and they won't tell us that it's vitamin D2, which comes from plants, which the half-life in a human is ridiculously low. Versus if they would give us D3, which is what you should be taking if you're taking any vitamin D, the half-life in D2 is like a day, and the half-life in D3 is 7 days. So that means I can actually take less of the D3 and have a better effect than what I'm taking on the D2. But even similarly, if I take the same amount, I'm having an amazing effect on a D3.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, we need to be careful what we read. Fifth danger, disease risk. Ooh. So you might be surprised to learn that many non-keto-friendly foods are associated with a whole lot of health benefits. So by cutting them out, you forgo many of their perks. Fruit, for example, we talked about fruit last week. Fruit, for example, is brimming with a range of about antioxidants, mm-hmm. that help fight damage to your body cells. another example is grain foods, which are associated with reduced risk of heart disease, diabetes, and some cancers. Some goes for legumes too.
Do I need to say anything the way you read that?
There's a bunch of BS on that fifth. Maybe we want to take them piece by piece. Fruits, so antioxidants and fruits.
Okay.
I know we talked about blackberries in the previous video last week. I know blackberries has a good amount of antioxidants, and they're not too sweet.
See, the thing is that do I need antioxidants if I'm not overeating carbs?
Oh, okay.
Right? What's causing this oxidation? What's causing all the problems in my... What's causing inflammation? What's causing... Right? Do I actually need antioxidants if I'm not overeating carbs?
That's the point.
Right? Mm-hmm. There's a part of me that I wish I was a doctor because I could... That way I could remember this information well, but I should probably link the video that I got it from if I can find the video. But this whole idea that the sugar that we eat and the cholesterol and why it becomes the problem that it becomes is that connection that happens, so the oxidation issue that happens. And again, I'm not a doctor, so I can't go into the details, but I remember reading this and thinking, wow, how did we get it so wrong? Because people are being pushed to eat carby things. Your body is going to produce cholesterol. The problem will just always be there. Whereas if I don't eat carby things, the cholesterol in my body doesn't get that negative. So again, I wish I was a doctor so that would have stuck with me better. But when I watched it, I was truthfully amazed. So do I need antioxidants? Now, the other thing is, you know what? For the amount of sugar that I get from the fruit to get some antioxidants, are there other ways to get those antioxidants? Would I get them from veg? And do I need them? But that's the other thing. I'm going to stay middle of the road. I'm not going to scream, but I'm going to stay middle of the road because I feel like from what I know and what I've already shared with you guys, the benefit of antioxidants is nowhere near the catastrophe of the amount of fructose that you're going to ingest and the harm you're going to do to your liver. So if I kill my liver, does it matter that I had some antioxidants? I have a hard time with that. Eat better quality food, and then you won't need all those I don't know.
What about the last part is really funny. What about not even whole grain foods, like grain foods and diabetes?
Carbohydrates in the grains is going to push you so fast towards diabetes that I don't even understand what he's trying to say. How will whole grains...
I know why. Tell after. Okay. It's just because I won't name the person, but is an online and Sydney-based accredited practicing dietitian. We made a video about dietitians before.
Okay. So this dietitian is saying how is grains going to stop me from having diabetes?
No, yeah, they don't. They don't say the whys, but the author just say they do. But since we did the video about dietitians,
okay, so basically,
not being very pro keto,
here's the problem that I have. You make a big statement like that. Grains are going to help me not acquire diabetes. Okay. The way that we acquire diabetes is by having too many carbohydrates in our blood over a long period of time, because that causes our insulin levels to stay high. When insulin levels are high, we become resistant to the effect of insulin. Mm-hmm. When we become resistant to the effect of insulin, that causes our body then not to be able to put the carbs away, which means our body has to produce more insulin to get the carbs to be put away. At some point, we cannot produce enough insulin to put away the carbs that we're eating. Grains are carby. You say that out loud again. the more I eat carbs, the more I engage the system, the more my body struggles to put those carbs away till the point where I can no longer put the carbs away. And that's the definition of diabetes. Right. So I'm struggling right now to understand how eating grains are carbs, how eating carbs is going to stop me from becoming diabetic.
Yeah.
It will actually push me towards becoming diabetic.
Mm.
That's like saying I should drink alcohol every day to not become an alcoholic.
Mm.
It doesn't make sense.
But honestly, all of those five dangers seems that I feel they're coming right from the Canadian nutrition guide thingy that like are pushing grains. I've been pushing grains for how many years now, because especially here in Canada, we're a big producer of grains. So, yeah.
So at that point, we're back to the story that I'm always afraid of, which is, are you trying to sell me something?
Mm.
And so, you know, if everything that's being said in this article is towards getting me to abandon the lifestyle that helped me to regulate my weight, help me to regulate my inflammation, help me to regulate my arthritis that I thought was coming on because I was having, help me to regulate my joint pain, which kind of could be considered arthritis, help me to regulate my, like, I don't know what I would call it, but like I feel more clear. And I feel like if you're telling me that everything in this article is saying that everything I did to feel amazing somehow is hurting me, you know what? I'm willing to take my chances. I'm going to keep doing this. Yeah. Because I was doing that and I had all those symptoms.
Yeah.
Right? I started doing this, symptoms gone. Right? And I can tell you, what is this, 15 months later, I feel better.
Yeah.
So 10 months later, I'm still at the same weight.
Mm.
So I've maintained for 10 months and I don't really feel like it's changing. I'm still doing one meal a day, maybe 10-ish months later.
Mm.
I don't feel like that's going to change. But where's the negative? Right? I don't see the negative.
Mm.
So we all have to make our decisions. I can no more tell you what to do than this person's going to tell me what to do. But you need to listen to the arguments that they're giving and say and ask yourself, is this really in line with what the doctors and all the research that's coming out of things like keto conferences? Is it in line with what we're being now made aware of? Because, you know, 500 years ago, do I have to go back that far? How many hundred years ago was it before they realized that we needed to wash our hands before we did surgery or we would kill people, right? And they were against it. They said it's ridiculous. Doctors are gentlemen. Gentlemen cannot be dirty. That was their reasoning to not wash their hands. Doctors are gentlemen and gentlemen cannot be dirty. Would go from a cadaver to a person. Listen, when we start to learn new information and when things are being proven to be correct, it's really important for us to really listen out and figure out how are we going to make these changes fit in with what we're trying to do, right? So my suggestion to everybody, when things don't make sense, like, do more research.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out.
Totally.
Don't just take it from face value. Oh my goodness, if I don't eat grains, I'm going to become diabetic. Like, clearly that's not true.
If you do eat grains, you're going to become diabetics. So yeah. But yeah, so this was my little article. So just like you said, just be careful what you read. I'd like to say, like, wise enough to do your research, to see the counter arguments, like, because from like as many bad articles, there are good articles.
Yeah,
and just
I'm hoping for one research. Eventually a good
article. Oh, there's some for sure.
Have you guys encountered any articles that were telling you that keto somehow was going to harm you? I would love to hear what you might have encountered. Put those in the comments below. You know what, if you're new here and you like this content, please subscribe, because we make these videos weekly, usually on a Thursday or a Friday. We put a video up, and I put up videos every Monday talking about mental health and physical health and how we can do better. For everyone else, my wellness warriors out there, thank you for coming by. I love to see you guys around. Comments. I want lots of comments. I want to know what's going on with you guys. I want to thank you for watching Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet, Pat Chat Edition. We will talk to you in the next video.
See you next week.